Zimbabweans in Canada are planning to meet the Zimbabwean consulate on 23 July 2016. We were lagging behind. It took time for us to organize, but we have decided also to join others in speaking the truth, in asking for justice, in asking for accountability through song, through prayers, through my voices around, many different voices that have something to say and need to express themselves.
We also understand that you have started a petition. What is this petition about, and what prompted you to start the petition?
This petition is about asking the UN Secretary General, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, to protect the rights of Zimbabweans who are seeking liberation. There have been voices that were straining to be heard, and there emerged somebody who was bold enough to talk about this flag campaign. And upon realizing that the actions would happen and what implications were in terms of people's rights, we decided that we needed some sort of protection, knowing that if we do it by ourselves, we risk getting people disappear because it has happened before. We risk getting lives lost because it has happened before while people trying to express themselves, their pain, and seek truth, justice, and accountability. So this was the anger that was churning inside of us to say, what can we do since we are not there at home? What small contribution can we make to this change? We want the world to know that there's a wave of change going on in Zimbabwe. And we want the world's eyes to be focused on Zimbabwe so that people's rights are respected.
How many signatures do you have currently, and what has been the response of the United Nations?
We're on 16,489, but as I speak to you, I think every 15 minutes there's a signature coming in. One thing is, we know for certain is they are aware that there are these concerns from Zimbabweans.
Also, you sing. What prompted you to get into singing? You're singing about very deep issues.
I was working for social, economic, political justice back home since 2003. But what prompted me to sing and to use music as a vehicle to express what is happening socially and as a vehicle for social change was when I was doing leadership development program, and we happened to have a young woman of 23 who was pregnant. She went into labor, and we were told to go to Rua Clinic, that was the nearest clinic. When we went there, the nurse asked us upon entering the clinic whether it was psychosis, and I was shocked that how can she ask if it is psychosis when she can see that it's a woman in labor. So I started getting angry. I was getting all charged up, and I looked at her and I said, you're a woman. You know exactly what you're talking about. And then I realized this anger of mine wouldn't take me anywhere because we still needed the nurse to deliver that baby. So I went from being angry like that to begging. I begged her to help us because I had taken the responsibility to get that young woman on the court. And so she said, okay, I don't have gloves. Give me $5. I gave her $5. And then she said, after all, there's no water in the clinic. So I was looking at her and I'm like, so what next? Can you at least show me how to deliver the baby because the baby is coming? So she had told us to remove the woman from the bed and put her on the floor. So I took off my jacket, my polar fleece jacket, and put it on the back of the young woman. I bumped back in to go and check what was happening. I saw the nurse holding the baby, and we thank God for sparing that life. So when I went back home, my child was playing Bira, and she said to me, Mommy, the song that I'm playing is a sad song. So I remember just telling that story of a child that was born and there was no water in the clinic. I didn't want to emphasize on the abuse. I had other several encounters like what inspired me to sing the 2008 election. The violence is all documented. We know about it. We sing about it. The diamonds that are disappearing, asking where is the money going? What is happening to the environment? What will the children be left with?